KSIV now presents Encounter, a public service program of Bot Radio Network, dedicated to keeping you informed about the issues that affect your life. Now, here's today's Encounter broadcast.
Healthcare and you. Freedom and you. How do they link arms? Is healthcare today a big puzzle? And you just don't see how you are really benefiting? Well, I'm Judy Redlich, and that's our topic of Encounter today. And I've invited Dr. Elizabeth Lee Vliet from Tucson, Arizona. She's an independent physician to come and talk about this very important topic today. So please stay tuned. Dr. Vliet, welcome to Encounter.
Thanks so much, Judy. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Tell us a little bit about you and what made you become an independent doctor. What does that mean?
Well, that's a very good question. In 1986, the managed care groups were moving into the area of Norfolk, Virginia, where I was in practice, and I thought it was reasonable to sign up with one of the insurance companies as a contract, and I quickly found that they were dictating what the patient could have in the way of treatment. They were dictating how often I could see them, what medicines I could prescribe, and I said to my husband and my colleagues, I did not go to medical school to have bureaucrats tell me what the patients could have. And I resigned from that insurance contract in 1986, and I have never signed another one. My contract is with the patient. I answer to the patient, and my oath of Hippocrates, which is to the best of my ability to do what is for the benefit of the patient.
I'm so glad you talked about the Hippocratic Oath. I wonder how many physicians really follow that oath that they swore by when they graduated from med school.
Well, I honestly don't think you can follow the Oath of Hippocrates to its fullest extent if you have a contract that specifies from the insurance carrier or the government, in the case of Medicaid and Medicare, what you can do for the patient, what tests you're allowed to order, what medications you're allowed to prescribe, how often you can see them, how you can... I mean, I have gynecologists that tell me the insurance contracts that they are signed with won't let them order the cholesterol profile, which is affected by hormone prescriptions, because the cholesterol profile has to be ordered by the primary care doctor or the cardiologist. So nobody's putting the pieces together for the patient to know why her cholesterol is getting out of whack if her hormones are imbalanced, thyroid or estrogen, or the same is true with men. And so by practicing independently of these insurance contracts or the government directives for Medicare and Medicaid, I only answer to the patient what's medically appropriate for the patient and what does the patient want to work with me to put on, to put the pieces together, to integrate the treatment, integrate the evaluation. If patients ask me, I'd like to be checked to see if I have this mutation for elevated homocysteine, for example, which is a heart disease risk, then I can say, certainly, I don't know if your insurance company will cover it, but if you'd like me to order it because you want the information, I am happy to do that, and then you decide with your insurance carrier what's covered and what isn't.
Dr. Vliet, you mentioned that this started in 1986. How has it escalated to today?
Well, I think it's escalated to the point that things are even more fragmented and even more restrictive, particularly under Obamacare regulations and stipulations that doctors have to follow, and hospitals and home health care agencies. The home health care agencies have been drastically affected by not only monetary cutbacks, but by more restrictive guidelines. Same is true with hospitalizations. Medicare patients, for example, if they are in the hospital and are discharged, they cannot be readmitted for 30 days without being totally financially responsible for the bill. And there are many problems with the elderly. Congestive heart failure is a good example, where they might possibly need to come back in a week or two and get restabilized. And the studies show that there's better survival rates and better outcomes if they do that, but Medicare now doesn't allow that. So there are many, many more restrictions than there were when I resigned from the insurance contracts in 1986. And that is one of the reasons that I fought so hard to keep the focus on the patient and the physician and the healthcare professional team relationship without all of these intrusions. Because the bottom line, life is God's gift, not the government and not the insurance companies. So when we are in the position of having third parties, whether it's government or private insurance companies, deciding what patients can have in the way of treatment, how often they can be seen, how long the appointments have to be, what tests are covered, those patients, their lives are not being decided by God's plan for them. They're being decided by bureaucrats. And that is not the principle on which this country was founded.
Dr. Valid, does this spectrum go across the board? In other words, whether someone doesn't have any money and is on Medicaid to someone who has the best health insurance, does it matter in those two areas, or is it pretty much across the board that this is happening?
It's across the board that this is happening. I mean, I personally have a good insurance policy now. It's added to the Medicare plan, and we do have more freedom under those circumstances, in the sense that the secondary plan covers things that Medicare itself doesn't cover. But where it is harder for the person on Medicaid is that with the expansion of Medicaid and the fact that they, under the last administration, Medicaid was expanded and providing free care for illegals crossing the border, not just American citizens who were the working poor in this country, which is what Medicaid was intended for. That meant that Americans who were working, who didn't qualify for private insurance but were qualifying for Medicaid, or if they were poor and qualified for Medicaid, they ended up having longer wait times and fewer options for treatment because the system was overloaded. Again, that affects freedom. So when governments and cities and mayors and governors don't follow the immigration laws and allow people to be here, taken care of by taxpayers, then the taxpaying citizens or the citizens of this country who've been here all their lives, who have some, for whom these benefits were designed, don't have access to them the way they should. I can tell you, I've gotten residencies in other countries when I've been working there. I was doing medical consulting in Chile. They didn't let people come across their border if you could not show the financial ability to take care of yourself. They weren't about to let people in who were going to be there at the cost of the Chilean taxpayers. And the same was true in Panama and Belize when I was there needing to get a residency permit to do some medical consulting work there. So it's unheard of any other country in the world to expect that that country is going to take care of the social benefits, social welfare benefits for people who are not supposed to be there, who are not citizens of the country.
Dr. Valid, would you talk about some solutions? We've given people a lot of information in this first segment of what's happening, but can you come back after this break and talk about some solutions?
Certainly. Be happy to do that, Judy.
All right. This is Encounter. I'm Judy Rudlick. We'll be right back. I'm Judy Redlich. If you're enjoying Encounter, you can listen to it every day, Monday through Friday, if you live in the greater St. Louis area on KSIV Radio. That's 1320 AM on your dial. If you have a guest suggestion, email me at jredlichspeaks@gmail.com. Browse my website, judyredlich.com, to listen to more of the Encounter shows. Dr. Elizabeth Philippe is my guest on Encounter. She's an independent physician who has been a longtime advocate for freedom of patients' rights. If some of our listeners are asking, okay, well, this is dire, and my insurance isn't really doing me what I need to do, it isn't giving me the freedom that I need to have, and I'm getting older, what recommendations do you make, and how can people have that freedom that they really need to get the care that they expect?
Well, one thing, I mean, we can start with several things that people can do right now. Number one is get better educated about what your health risks are and what your medical conditions are. I'm shocked at how many people don't know what they have, don't know what medicines they're taking, don't know their doses, and really are not very involved in their medical care. They think the doctor's going to fix it and the insurance company's going to pay for it. So, number one, individuals need to be more proactive. And you have and get knowledgeable about what's going on with their health and what their family history is and what the risk factors are. You know, Scripture tells us that the body is our temple through which we serve the Lord. And people really need to see that taking care of our physical health is our Christian duty. It's our duty as a creation of God to look at the perspective of the bigger picture of your show. We need to look at the scriptural basis of health as well as the medical basis. So in addition, I encourage people to do something simple like get an inexpensive pedometer and put it on your wrist or your waistband of your belt and start counting your steps every day and look at increasing those to be healthier. The more that you move, the healthier your body is, and the goal is 10,000 steps a day. Start looking at ways you can clean up your diet and cut out the processed foods. Reduce your risk factors that way. Look at ways that you can advocate in the political arena with your congressional representatives to push for free market reforms in healthcare. When President Trump was campaigning, he had a whole series of free market reforms that would drastically bring down the cost of medicine and medical care and would increase patient freedom.
And what has happened with those as of today?
Well, some of them are being implemented slowly, but quite frankly, Congress has been a problem, a bottleneck. They have not passed the reforms that the president has been trying to accomplish. And then when he signed executive orders, we had activist liberal judges that blocked some of those. So people need to get more proactive in the political process and say, look, U.S. Constitution guarantees that we have the right to liberty and life and the pursuit of happiness, which originally meant property rights, the pursuit of our property, the fruits of our labor, and we need to get all these bureaucrats and all this government expansion out of medicine and out of a lot of other things that are interfering with people's freedom to make decisions about how they live their lives. And right now, we're seeing a lot of roadblocks in Congress that are very distressing to me as I look at how simple some of these reforms could be. President Trump campaigned on the idea that patients could purchase medications overseas at lower cost through countries that have some of the same regulatory protections that we have in the United States. And there are lots of them. But that has not been allowed to be passed. And in fact, Congress is trying, and the FDA are trying to thwart that.
Why do you think that is? It seems like such a simple solution.
Well, I think the simple answer is that the FDA is about control and about maintaining power. It's like many things. Bureaucratic agencies become little kingdoms and they want to maintain their power. And the regulatory process brings in money on the approval process, fees paid to the FDA. And so something that's approved in Canada or Chile or Germany or France, and for patients to buy that, and it hasn't gone through the process.
The FDA process.
Yeah, they've lost revenue. So it's a revenue issue, it's a control issue, and it's a political issue because special interests are pursuing their interest. And there are not patient groups that have the money to lobby Congress the same way that big business interests do, or government interest, or big donors.
And also the medical prescription companies.
The pharmacy benefits area has exploded in recent years, and that really needs to get addressed. And I think President Trump would like to do something about that to rein it in. Those people are making money off of denying patients medication.
The pharmaceutical companies make a lot of money off of patients unnecessarily, too, don't they?
Well, I won't say unnecessarily. We have to keep in mind that the United States does the research and development on new medications for the bulk of the world's new medications. We launch over 60% of the new medications launched in the world, and it's pharmaceutical companies that are bearing the cost of that in the research and development. So we can't lay all the blame there. Where I see a bigger problem is with all the middlemen that are making money and adding to the cost in the U.S., where they're making money denying physicians being able to prescribe for patients. There's a company called Cover My Meds that suddenly popped up because they market their services as saving money for the insurance companies by telling the doctors what they can prescribe or not prescribe, but the guy who founded it is making millions off of the kinds of things that put up roadblocks for us as physicians to get what patients need. It absolutely drives me nuts. And patients are suffering because they have to wait for prior authorizations. They have to wait to see what's going to be allowed. And they have delays. They have limited options. It's encroachment on medical freedom again. And they don't have these pharmacy benefits managers in other countries. So it adds another layer of cost. We've got all of these third-party payer billing and claims people that are trying to set up roadblocks to save money for the insurance company, which ends up encroaching on patient freedom and their medical options. We have more administrators than we do doctors.
Dr. Vliet, how can people find doctors that are not part of the mold, or will they find a lot of independent doctors who can serve them and meet their needs?
Well, one of the areas that is growing is called direct pay or direct payment practices. Fee for service is another term that people can Google to find options. Concierge practices charge a high retainer for people to be on the doctor's list of patients. I don't personally recommend that model because I think that's ethically a problem to charge a high fee for somebody just to be on my list of patient roster. I prefer to see that patients just pay for the time and service they need rather than paying a retainer fee to be part of a doctor's practice. But people have that option. People have the option of looking up doctors and asking is there a cash discount? Now, doctors who are contracted with insurance companies and Medicare, for example, can't offer cash discounts usually because of the terms of their contracts, but they can't talk about that either because of some of the gag clauses in the contracts. So you have to look for doctors that indicate on their website or through resources like AAPS or the direct pay primary care model or fee-for-service models. Look for doctors who advertise that they are independent. Most of them who have gotten out of the insurance racket will definitely advertise that that's an option people have.
How can people search for a doctor that isn't part of all the insurance red tape?
Google independent doctors or search on the browsers, independent physicians, DPC practices, fee-for-service practice, and concierge medicine, but recognize that the concierge model of all the ones I listed is one that charges a retainer to be part of that practice.
Dr. Vliet, in closing, what would you like to say in 30 seconds to our listeners? We've shared a lot of information here today. People are probably going, oh, what do I really do?
Well, if they'd like to learn more about taking charge of your health, on my website, I have lots of free articles, podcasts, and informational material for men and women that they can turn to that herplace.com and read about that. Also, I encourage people to get active in the political process and pressure start getting, mobilizing friends and neighbors and family to put pressure on Congress to enact the free market reforms to increase patient freedom.
Herplace.com is Dr. Elizabeth Lee Vliet's website. You've heard about it on Encounter today. I'm Judy Redlich. I hope this hasn't confused you too much. A lot of information thrown your way, but we hope it's given you some insights to become an investigator in your own health care. Thanks, Dr. Vliet, for being my guest today on Encounter.
Thank you, Judy.
Encounter is you and the issues, where the facts and opinions make you an informed citizen of St. Louis. Thank you for your participation. Let a friend know about this talk and issues feature of Bot Radio Network and KSIV. Then join us next time for Encounter.